Let's turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 24 this evening. Exodus chapter 24. Verses 12 to 18. We'll see within this passage that God calls Moses up into Mount Sinai. And for some 40 days and 40 nights, God reveals his glory and gives him not only the 10, the law, the tables of stone, the commandments, but also he gives to Moses the detailed plans for the tabernacle. And that takes us from chapter 25 onwards until the end of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18 reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto him. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." Let's bow for prayer. O God, please teach us from your word this evening. We desire to know you and know you more intimately and thereby serve you more effectively. So please teach us from your precious word this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So now we come to that section of the book of Exodus that deals with the tabernacle. The tabernacle was to be the very presence of God amongst his people. Note there in verse number 8, the second part of verse 8 of chapter 25, it reads, "that I may dwell among them." Now, as God's people made their way to the promised land, they not only had God's presence in the cloud by day and fire by night, overshadowing them and guiding them, now they are promised God's very presence in their midst. Note that little phrase there once again in verse 8. "That I may dwell among them." God chooses to manifest his personal presence within this structure known as the tabernacle. And more specifically, within a section of the tabernacle known as the Holy of Holies. And we will see within every part of this Old Testament tabernacle, the Lord Jesus pictured in his person and in his work. And as we study the tabernacle, we will be drawn to the Lord Jesus, and God will reveal to us our Lord and Savior in all of his fullness and glory. We note there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, in reference to God's presence, of which the Holy of Holies typified. Note there in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 21, it reads, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." The tabernacle was inclusive, but also it was exclusive at the same time. It excluded those that refused to come to God on his terms. But for him, for that individual that was willing to enter on God's terms, through that one door, there was access to the one and true living God. So the tabernacle was inclusive, but it was also exclusive. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall come in and out and find pasture." There was one door that led into the main tabernacle area, known as the outer court area. Picturing for us, there is only one door that leads to heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10:9, as I've just read. You entered the tabernacle through the east, and you made your way to God's presence in the west. You entered from the east, and you made your way to God in the west. Your way was westward into the holy place, the holies, the holy of holies. And this is what the men did that came from the east. There in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it reads, as they entered Jerusalem, they came from the east to the west. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. There are only a few chapters in the Bible devoted to creation, specifically full chapters. And they are Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Half of Psalm 19, and of course, creation is all over the Bible. But as far as full chapters devoted to creation, there are only 2.5 chapters fully devoted to creation. In contrast, there are 50 full chapters devoted to the tabernacle. 50. The equivalent of the book of Genesis. There's something in that. 13 chapters within the book of Exodus. 13 chapters in the book of Numbers. 18 chapters in the book of Leviticus. 2 chapters in the book of Deuteronomy. And 4 chapters in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. 50 chapters, full chapters, devoted to the tabernacle. Why? Well, we not only see the Lord Jesus in all his glory, in his person and work, within this structure known as the tabernacle, but also we learn of his salvation. We learn of worship. We learn how to commune with him. So it's important that we value the tabernacle and what God teaches you and I concerning this place, of which God said to his people, that I may dwell among them. As we move into chapter 25, verses 1 to 9, we have some introductory principles concerning the tabernacle. The first point I want to stress this evening is that the tabernacle is referred to as a sanctuary. A sanctuary. The reason why it's referred to as a sanctuary, because in that word we have a summary of the purpose of the tabernacle. Sanctuary, that which is sanctified, a sacred place for worship. That is a sanctuary. It's not uncommon even today for God's people to refer to the main auditorium as the sanctuary. That is this portion of a facility is set apart for worship alone. The sanctuary. It's a biblical term. And God said there in verse number 8 of chapter 25, and let them make me a sanctuary. This was God's request. A sacred place set apart for worship. To worship our holy God. It is within this tabernacle we learn about our God and how we can approach him. A sanctuary. The tabernacle is referred to as a place, a sacred place set apart for worship. So as we study the tabernacle, we are noting a structure that God said to his people, I want you to build this sanctuary, this sacred place. It wasn't a large structure. In our natural thinking, we envisioned this large structure, but it really wasn't that large at all. If you're well behaved, I'll show you some pictures to prove my point. We were able to see a full-size illustration of a tabernacle, of the tabernacle, there in the desert in Israel the last time we were there. So it wasn't a large structure, but it was where God's presence, could be found, and where man could commune with the God of the universe. The word tabernacle means dwelling. The Bible makes reference to our bodies being a tabernacle, a dwelling. It is the meeting place between God and man, but it is a sanctuary, God said. Make me a sanctuary. It is to be a sacred place set apart for worship. So whatever took place within the boundaries of the tabernacle, it all encompassed worship. Worship. Worshipping the one and true living God. The meeting place between God and man. It was the only place man could approach God, and where God would meet with man on his terms. So therefore God said, let them make me a sanctuary. So there we have the purpose of the tabernacle. A place set apart for worship. There's something very special about setting apart, being set apart. And the tabernacle was set apart for worship, to worship the holy God. for God's people to be able to approach and worship the one and true living God. But also note there once again in verse number 8, another key principle when it comes to a study of the tabernacle. We need to understand the purpose of this tabernacle. It was a sacred place for worship. But also we need to be mindful that this tabernacle represented the very presence of God. It is where God dwelt amongst his people. Note that wording once again there in verse number 8, that I may dwell among them. God once communed with man in the Garden of Eden, but that was broken because of sin. And this re-established communion with God involved two elements. It involved reconciliation, and we see that illustrated for us within the tabernacle, the brazen altar that we will study, and also the principle from reconciliation, communion, fellowship with God. And that's illustrated within the furnishings within the tabernacle. Beyond the brazen altar was a laver full of water where the priests would cleanse themselves before they went into an area known as the holy place that led into the Holy of Holies, where God would dwell amongst his people. And praise God that for you and I that know the Jesus Christ, we are the tabernacle of God. That God dwells within us. He doesn't dwell in a tent-like figure any longer. You and I, as blood-bought children of God, are the very dwelling place of God. And this tabernacle was to illustrate that very fact. Now we enjoy, we experience the permanent indwelling of God through Jesus Christ, because his blood was shed and his body was broken, that you and I not only might experience forgiveness, but we can have communion. So this idea of reconciliation, being reconciled to God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We are reconciled to God, therefore we can have fellowship with God. We can commune with God because we have his presence within us. So we see purpose, sanctuary. We see presence, that I may dwell among them. And then we note here in Exodus chapter 25, verses 2 to 7, we note that God's people gave the materials needed to build this tabernacle. Note there in chapter 25, verses 2 to 7, it reads, "Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. This is the offering which ye shall take of them." This is what God required: gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and man's and ram's skins dyed red, and badger's skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. So God's people gave the materials that were needful to build the different furnishings of this tabernacle. The tabernacle was transportable. It was set up, and then it was packed up and transported from place to place. illustrating God's presence amongst his people. And God's people had the privilege of giving materials in the building of this tabernacle. Now, a couple of principles I'd like for us to note from what we've just read here in verses 2 to 7. Number one, they gave sacrificially. We read of gold, silver, brass, of expensive materials, expensive stones, they gave sacrificially. And this is a reminder to you and I as God's people that it's costly to worship the Lord. It comes at a price. They gave sacrificially, and note we also read there in verse number 2 that everybody got involved. Everybody was involved in giving materials for the tabernacle. Note the little phrase there in verse 2 once again, of every man that giveth it willingly. So they gave sacrificially of what they had. Everybody got involved. And they gave willingly, note the little phrase there in verse 2, with his heart. They gave heartily as unto the Lord. This was an opportunity for God's people to express their love for God in giving sacrificially, willingly. God did not force them to give. God gave them the opportunity to give. And they had the opportunity to give, and they were encouraged to give willingly, according to their ability. He gave them the opportunity to prove their love by their giving. God addresses the heart of man within the tabernacle. And it's no coincidence that in the building of the tabernacle that God gave them the opportunity to bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. And as we study the tabernacle, God deals with the heart of man. It's one thing to go through the motions of worship, but it's certainly another to worship God in spirit and in truth. Everybody had an opportunity to give their portion. The tabernacle reflected God's presence. The tabernacle was a sanctuary, a sacred place of worship. But also note then verse number 9, please. Verse number 9, that God tells his people how to build the tabernacle. God told them, these are the materials that I need, that I give you an opportunity to sacrificially give willingly from your heart. But this is how I want the tabernacle built. Note then verse 9, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So here we have the plan. God had a plan. God did not just say to his people, well, I want you to build me a dwelling, a sanctuary. Go for your life. Do the best you can. No, God said, now this is the plan. I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going to give you the design. In fact, I'm going to give you the instructions on how to build the parts of the tabernacle. So God tells his people how to build the tabernacle. Note then verse number 40, please, of chapter 25. Verse 40 of chapter 25. The chapter ends with, look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. So God draws up the plans, hands them over to Moses, giving detail, giving the details of all that God expected. God, who is ordered and who is all wise, led his people into his presence on his terms. And this would be reflected in how the tabernacle was constructed and how the various furnishings within the tabernacle were to be made. It all had a purpose. God's plan of salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. We are made righteous not by our works, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. And God's pattern for worship and communion is through sanctification. So we will see within the tabernacle salvation as you enter in through the east. And as you make your way towards the west, westward, the principle of sanctification, salvation, sanctification, and then we will enjoy the reality of God's presence in our lives. Let me ask you, is God real in your life? Is God real in your life? The tabernacle was all about bringing God's people to the point where they moved beyond reconciliation and enjoy communion, but to enjoy the presence of Almighty God, where they could say, yes, he walks with me and he talks with me. It's the whole purpose of the tabernacle. And this involves salvation and sanctification. And the tabernacle teaches us how we can be saved, how a person can be right with God, be reconciled with God, and how a person is sanctified before God, saved, sanctified, and enjoy the very presence of God, to know the reality of God. But God made it very clear to his people that you need to follow my plans. You need to follow my plans. Note there in Hebrews chapter 8, please. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 5. In reference to the tabernacle and how it pictures our redemption. Note there in chapter 8, verse number 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So that's quoting out of Exodus chapter 25, verse number 40. So it was very, very important that God's people followed the blueprint, God's plans. God, who is ordered and all wise, leads his people on his terms. See, God knows best, does he not? He has our best interest in mind. And we need to follow his plan, spelled out within the Word of God. And we see there in Proverbs chapter 3 a reminder of that very fact. Proverbs chapter 3. In In verses 5 and 6, I'd like to think most of us would be very familiar with these two verses, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we live in accordance with these verses. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need to follow God's plan. We need to follow God's guidance. And we see this illustrated for us within the tabernacle. God gave them the plans. God told them, this is how you'll build the various furnishings within the tabernacle. And this is where you'll place the furnishings within the tabernacle. And this will be the order of the placement of the furnishings within the tabernacle. And this is what you are to do at this piece of furnishing. And this is what you are to do at this piece of furnishing, etc. The construction of the tabernacle and the conduct of God's people within the tabernacle all had purpose. All had purpose. Ultimately picturing how man can be reconciled with God and how man can know God personally and know the reality of God's presence. See, God knows what he is doing. As we are reminded of in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we will see that God's ways are best as we follow him through the tabernacle. That God knows what he's doing. He reveals his character within the tabernacle. He will reveal his holiness. He will reveal how we can commune with God. He will reveal to us the kind of heart attitude that God expects of you and I. And he will reveal overwhelmingly that his ways are purposeful and best. Oh, for grace to trust him more. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We sing that so flippantly, don't we? We need grace to trust him more. For the just shall live by faith. And as Moses spent time with his God there in Mount Sinai, God gave him the plan. And he was instructed by God, this is how you'll build this sanctuary, this sacred place in which we will commune one with another, and I will rest, I will abide with you in and through the tabernacle. May God help us to follow his plan, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and to lean not unto our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So verses 1 to 9 of Exodus chapter 25 give us a bit of an introduction to the building of this wonderful structure, of which 50 full chapters, 50 chapters, the equivalent of the book of Genesis, 50 chapters in the Bible teach on the tabernacle. In contrast to 2.5 chapters in the Bible teach specifically on creation.
It's not the creation's not important, but ultimately the heavens declare the glory of God. To what end? That you and I might know Him, that you and I might be redeemed and sanctified and know the reality of His presence. See, people are not saved through creation. People need to place their faith in Jesus Christ. And then in Christ we are sanctified. And as we are sanctified, we enjoy the reality of His presence and know the power of God at work in and through our lives. That's why there are 50 chapters devoted to the tabernacle. But fear not, we won't study all 50 chapters. But we'll glean through the rest of the book of Exodus, and we will see God's glory, glory exemplified in and through the tabernacle, picturing our salvation and how we can be sanctified and how we can know the reality of God's presence in our lives. May God help us. Let's pray.